Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Columbus.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy. Good buddy, Austin Ward. My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show. The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Well, Reese came in and he's handed me papers.
Yeah.
And then, he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do it live on a Tuesday edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next three. Bake is here. Reese is back. Rested. Better than ever. Look, in what we do right now, oftentimes, there's not a whole lot of value for us in discussing individual games and minutiae that happen in those individual games, by and large, unless it's football, because football's once a week. And so you can spend a couple of days talking about what just happened, and you can spend a couple of days talking about what's going to happen. And just from a content perspective, because it's once a week, there is something that is special every time the toe is kicked to the pigskin and you play a football game, especially high leverage football games like we're used to playing around here. But even NFL, even from that perspective, there is minutiae that can be broken down. In the three sports that are traditionally part of the Big Four, the NHL, the NBA, and Major League Baseball, there are probably some markets where you can come on and you can talk straight X's and O's and you can break down what happened in the third inning of baseball. My guess is those markets are New York, Boston, and perhaps St. Louis in the old days. I don't even know if that's still the case anymore. Maybe Chicago when the Cubs are really humming. I'm not entirely sure. Basketball, same way. Because you're playing 82 games, breaking down what happened on a given night, unless it's a special matchup, is something that's the audience, quite honestly, isn't that interested in, and we have data that proves that. Hockey's the same way, unless you're in Toronto. If you're in Toronto, then by all means. Montreal, one of the Canadian markets, then yes, you're breaking down every possession, every man up, man down, all the things that come with that. All this, you can break all of those things down in some of those markets. For the most part, though, it's big picture stuff that folks are interested in. You're looking for trends. You're looking for big picture things in terms of the sports that you covered. And I think what we saw last night is the exception to that rule. And as I'm watching both, I watched both. I watched game one of the Western Conference Final and I watched Canadians and Buffalo last night. I wasn't intending to watch both, but my intention was to, if the hockey game was close in the second period, to kind of watch that to through fruition, because it's a game seven, right? And there's nothing better in the world than a game seven in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So I had both TVs going. Both of these two entities, from a pure sport perspective, delivered as big as you could possibly deliver. The NBA game between the Spurs and the Thunder felt like the game seven of an NBA finals. From the first quarter, the intensity was insane. It was absolutely insane from the jump. Wembanyama put on an all-time performance, and the Spurs end up winning in overtime, 122-115. In the NHL, you got a game seven between the Habs and the Sabres. You're talking about the most decorated team in hockey history against a team from Buffalo that hasn't been in this spot in a while, but has a rabid fan base and has quite honestly been through a lot in the last 20 years in terms of failures and stops and starts and just irrelevancy. And what you got was a scintillating, unbelievable game seven overtime walk-off winner for the Canadians. As I'm watching all of this, I'm jealous. I'm jealous because when you get a team that gets to this point, you can talk the X's and O's because there's another game coming in another day. And there's another game coming in another day. And all of a sudden, you're looking at matchups. You're looking about, all right, he put this line against these pair. We're looking to cross to have this cross matchup here. Basketball, same thing. Well, what did they do with Wembanyama in the first? Well, they're having Holmgren slide over, wasn't really working. Then they had to go to another option. Those are the things that you can have conversations about when your teams are relevant deep into the postseason because you play every other day. We're going to get a version of that with the Cavs. We're going to get a version with that. They're going to be put to the test here. This Central Ohio is going to be put to the test. Are you going to get behind this Cavaliers team? My hunch is that you probably will, that you'll jump on this bandwagon, and it's going to be something that you kind of pay attention to every other day here over the next couple of weeks. Think about this just from the teams that are involved in this too. The metro population of Buffalo is 1.16 million people. The metro population of Oklahoma City is 1.5 million people. We're 2.3 million people here. This could easily be us. With a little luck, a little management, we could be in the position that the Buffalo Sabres are in. You're not going to get an NBA team, but if you had, that would have been something that you could have been in the middle of. And now just imagine, if you will, what this city would be like with an every other day competing for a championship situation. Because you watched what you saw last night, and you saw that crowd in Oklahoma City, and you saw that crowd in Buffalo, and you went, my God, I wish that was us. I was so jealous watching it. What we saw on the ice and on the hardwood was sensational in both games, but I had a great deal of jealousy going, my God, what would it be like if we ever get the opportunity to have something like that, where you have a deep run in this town, in a series situation, where it's now every other day you have a game. There's magic to it.
I think it's certainly something in the next 5 years you hope for the Blue Jackets. They got a ways to go. I do think if you can get a game seven in a first round or a second round playoff series, the magic, the energy that surrounded last night's game in Buffalo would be the same here in Columbus. The good thing about Cavs and the Knicks is that you'll be able to get it on ESPN. I think there's one game on ABC, so it'll be very accessible, like the Western Conference Finals last night was on NBC and Peacock. It's just like we talk about moments that where you're on social media, you're scrolling, you're just kind of winding down for the day, and you realize that something special is about to happen, and you realize something's in the middle of something special, and you can't help but turn to it. With last night, and I was watching the Guardians and the Tigers, but I also had Wembanyama and what the Spurs and the Thunder were doing, so I didn't pay much attention to the hockey until the end.
Yeah.
Until you were understanding that this Game 7 that meant so much to both fan bases was about to go into overtime. You're like, well, that's something I've got to turn into. And watching that game go final, watching Victor Wembanyama, he had a shot that tied things at like 108 that he might have almost shot from San Antonio, that you realized in the moment what kind of special performance you were watching. And yeah, you think that maybe, just maybe, as a Cavs fan, your team can kind of get that sort of magic to go your way in the next week, because you're going to need stuff like that.
It was last night watching that Game 7 of the Montreal-Buffalo series and seeing the crowd in Buffalo and then seeing them show the Bell Center in Montreal full of Canadian fans, like the hockey game was going on in their barn. It took me back, and I've said this all along, the sweep of Tampa for the Blue Jackets was awesome. For me, my favorite time as a fan was 2014, when the Blue Jackets unfortunately lost to the Pittsburgh Penguins, because I was at four of those six games. I was at game one over in Pittsburgh, and then I was all three here for the Blue Jackets, and I just remember how electric Nationwide Arena was. And I could just imagine of that game last night, if the Blue Jackets were in it, how Nationwide Arena would be, or even if the Blue Jackets were the away team and them having a watch party there. Like, I remember in that Tampa series for those away games being at the R Bar for one of them, and it was packed. You couldn't move in there, and it was crazy. And yeah, you use the term jealous as a fan, a little jealous. And it's nice that we hear, and you talked about Columbus jumping on the Cavs bandwagon, and there are a lot of diehard Cavs fans like Reese. it's nice that they get this right now. They're there. They're in the Eastern Conference Finals again, so they can taste it a little bit right now with the Cavs. But, man, watching it last night, you longed for it.
Oh, God, I did. And we're going to watch the Cavs, and Reese is diehard, so he's going to be all into it. But the reality is that not everybody here is. Not everybody is a Cavs fan. Probably a great many aren't. There's some expats, certainly. But when it's in your town, then everybody becomes a fan. If the Blue Jackets get to the point where it's them instead of the Canadians playing the Carolina Hurricanes in the Eastern Conference Finals, that is 2.3 million people all on one bandwagon. That's what happens. We hearken back to that series against Tampa. Guys, it's been a long time. It's been a long, that's 2019. That's been a long time since we've had one of those type of moments. We're due. And it can be done. This is the point of like the population was these aren't professional sports. It's never been easier for smart to ascend. Smart can ascend. The Canadians are a historic operation, but it's not like they're a free agent destination. The Sabres sure as heck aren't. People can't get out of there quick enough. San Antonio, Oklahoma City, not sure those are free agent destinations either, right? Smart wins. And when smart wins, then your city wins, and then you get to have this where it's an every other night situation. This was spectacular theater in both of these operations. We are loaded up. Uncle Dom going to join us coming up at 10:30. Hit that Real Truth at 10 o'clock. OTAs in Cleveland, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh. Mr. Sorsby trying to pull a little okey-doke down at Texas Tech as well. What's the real truth behind all of that? We're off and running on a Tuesday. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The Fan. Wake up with the Fan.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Best way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows?
Oh, no.
Download the Fan app, silly.
God damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now. The Fan. Ohio sports destination. Let's take a listen back to when we were awesome. You're listening to the best of Bishop and Friends. The Fan. Ohio sports destination. Bo could quit today and become the school drop-off line coordinator. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are. Joshua Perry in with me today. Time to head out on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Conversation with a good buddy, Doug LaMaurice. The Bill and Doug Show on YouTube and the Substack there. Bill and Doug, osu.substack.com. You've seen A Few Good Men, right?
Yes.
So when you were on last week, when I was done, and when we started the interview, I did not realize at that point that you had done an hour on the 2014 playoff and all of its attributes. So I felt a little bit like Joe Galloway when she kept saying, I strenuously object. And then he goes, oh, strenuously object. Oh, okay. I thought about it a lot. And I can't get there with you because I just don't care about Iowa is kind of what I come back to. And this is one of those things that for me, it comes down to, I think, what means the most to you about, what do you love the most about this sport? And for me, what I love the most about it is, the tightness of it, the immediacy of it. I love the sectional part of it. I love our guys up here better than your guys down there and all of that stuff. And I'm a bit of an elitist, I guess. I just like seeing the heavyweights. I can't be interested in some of these other teams, and I'm not convinced that I will be over time. As you've had some distance from that, and we've got a ton of momentum, basically it's Sankey and ESPN on an island here. As you've observed this over the last week, kind of have you at all changed in your thinking of it, or are you still where you were that the evolution of this is it's going to happen, it's inevitable, and we might as well get used to it?
Yeah, so the thing of it is, like, what if you were a radio host in Des Moines, Iowa, right? Or what if you were a radio host? But those people do exist, right? So there are people. So the thing that it is really hard. I have not really changed. And again, I'm not an evangelist for the 2014 playoffs. I'm trying to be on the side of, it seems like we're headed that way, and it's not going to kill the sport. Like, it's going to be okay. It does seem like the biggest fear is of the 8-4 blue blood, right? That it's the team that should be good that has a mediocre year that gets in anyway, yeah. right? That seems to be more the fear because, again, I still go back to if Iowa's in at 8-4, Iowa fans are super excited.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it affects Ohio State fans because Iowa's just probably going to lose in the first round and it doesn't even get to you, right? And so I am also an elitist. I want to make that clear. I am an elitist. I do not care about the little guy, right? Like, I don't, you know, I'm not super engaged to watch G6 football. I'm sorry. Yeah. I think about the power conferences. I think about the Big Ten and the SEC. But I am curious, concerned. I do think about that middle tier, that non-Ohio State, you know, Ohio State, Oregon, Michigan, Penn State, and then all of a sudden Indiana jumps up. Like, right, we get that. Mm-hmm. But, like, that next cut in the Big Ten, like, you know, will Nebraska, will Maryland, will Michigan State, like, I don't know, like, will they ever participate in a 12-team playoff? Like, ever? But they could participate in a 24-team playoff? I do think that still remains one of the pluses to this. And I know if you're not on board with Iowa, but again, I would say, but does it take away from your interest of it from an Ohio State standpoint? Right? Is it ruining anything for you? Is it ruining the regular season? Is it ruining the playoff if Iowa gets in and loses in the first round? So that's the thing that I really ask.
It only ruins it if Ohio State changes its approach.
I agree, but
that's
also
where it ruins it.
It probably increases the chances of the good non-conference games remaining because you have wiggle room, right? Like they want wiggle
if they
room.
Do that.
I buy that because there are people already pulling back on doing it right now, and there are fewer teams than what they're being proposed.
But what's being pulled back on right now? Right. So like Georgia, Florida State got pulled back and made a non-conference game. You know, like Bama, Oklahoma State, that was always going to be canceled when the SEC is going to 9. So like we were going back. We did a show this week for our Substack subscribers about the best non-conference opponents this century for Ohio State. Right. So we're going back and looking at 08-09 USC. We're looking at 05-06 Texas. We're thinking about all those games. I will say in retrospect, the idea that Ohio State played Texas in 2005 and 2006, and it was like, hey, Vince Young, come to the Shoe. Well, we lost to you in week two. I guess our national title hopes are over. That is nuts to me. I can't believe that ever happened. Teams were throwing away their national title hopes because they lost a non-conference game in September because you probably had to go undefeated to get in, right? So now we're going to 12, and if we expand beyond that, like, hey, there's some wiggle room. I believe in, like, let somebody have a bad week, let somebody lose, let somebody play a great non-conference game and lose that game, and you're not dead, right? So, like, I do think there's some panic, like, right now, but I think if we get to 24, we have a better chance of keeping Georgia, Ohio State in 30 and 31 than we do if you're still at 12.
I don't know if I'm buying that because I'm seeing Indiana, for example, in their philosophy towards non-conference scheduling, and like they just, you go out there and win the games. And what Penn State has done in the past, just go out there and they didn't win the games, but win the games. And we watch if, especially if this is tied to a committee in the future, they don't want to make any difficult decisions about teams that are close in record, but one team has one more loss. They don't want to put them over a different team. They're just going, okay, here's a group of the undefeated teams and here are all the one loss and just straight down the line. And I think the feedback is telling athletic directors, well, they're going to put us in regardless of whether we play the big game or not. And if we're Texas now, everybody's criticizing Texas after the first week of the season last year because they lost in a close game to Ohio State. I'm just not convinced that we're actually going to get the things that we want out of a bigger playoff field.
But if you're in at 9-3 regardless, right? Then I think you're more willing to lose a game in September because it's not that like, oh, if we're 9-3 and we're going to get sliced off. It's like, well, 24 teams, all the 9-3 teams are getting it. And I like Indiana is scheduling, right? I don't hold it against programs who are trying to non-conference schedule to get the 6 wins and make a bowl. So they're trying to go 3-0 in the non-conference. So 3-6 in conference play gets you a postseason. That's what Indiana was scheduling as. And then all of a sudden they became a national power. Penn State's afraid. Penn State should be punished for the way that they schedule. But the TV networks want it, right? And I do think like more wiggle room. It's one of those things. I just think how can, if you're at 12 and it really feels like, and again, Texas is wrong. It was the Florida loss, not the Ohio State loss that kept them out last year. But if you stay at 12 for a decade, Texas is going to look at that and say, we're not doing it, especially when the SEC is going to 9. They're going to say they're not doing it. Like, I think that's definitive. Yeah. I think if we stay at 12, there's no way we keep those games.
So I think the one thing you'd have to deal with on this, Doug, and this is, I think this part's very real. You're putting a bunch of trust in a bunch of people that are just going to want to get to this at the easiest way possible. That's what Franklin did at Penn State, and I think that's what people are going to do. They're going to say, what is the surest way to get it? Because they're going to change the narrative of what a successful season is, and they're going to say, if we make the playoffs, it's a successful season. And it's take 3 to 5 years for us to say, okay, you made it, but now did you get to a Final Four? Did you get to an Elite Eight? Did you get to those type of things? And the other thing that I think is going to happen, I think this is absolute, you're going to see load management in college football in a big way. So that goes again to playing those non-conference games. If I'm Ryan Day, I want to get to December healthy. If you're telling me I got to win 5 games in December to win a national title, I want to get there healthy. And I know that my reserves can beat Kent State, Akron, Marshall, whoever in the non-conference. They can beat 3 or 4 of the Big Ten teams in the league. I just want to get there healthy. And that's my pushback to the notion that they're going to keep playing these games, because you're putting trust in people to do the right thing for the sport who just don't.
But aren't we there? I mean, they're already resting guys in the second half against Ball State, Kent State.
But they're not resting them in the Michigan
already,
game.
Right? But they're not going to rest them in the Michigan game. Rivalries will keep college football going. It's a little different than the NFL. Like, again, there's meaning and there's stakes. When you go to 24, in some ways you reduce stakes, right? But I don't think that automatically means that you reduce meaning. And I will, the day when Ohio State and Michigan line up across from each other in any circumstance and people aren't going all out to win that game, yeah, I'll be shocked, because there's always meaning. Even if both teams are going to get in the playoff, win or lose, there's always meaning. I think if you stay at 12 or you go to 16 and you keep conference championship games, that's when you're going to rest people. Fernando Mendoza got plugged into the ground by Caden Curry in the first play last year in a game where they wound up 1-2 regardless of the outcome of that game. Like, what are we going to do if we keep conference championship games knowing that the SEC and the Big Ten, but you can't, this is trade-offs. They're not going to get rid of conference championship weekend unless they expand the playoff. They're not giving up conference championship weekend. They're trading it. So in the 24-team model, you're trading conference championship weekend for the first round of play-in games in the playoff. If you stay at 16, it's conference championship weekend where you might be resting people into a 16-team playoff. If it's 24, you whack conference championship weekend, you play play-ins 9 through 24, the top 8 get byes, and then we get to the 16-team main field. That's part of why I'm okay with 24, because I think that trade-off is inevitable. And if you think of it that way, so you don't, okay, so you want to stay at 12 at 16, but tell me like how you keep conference championship games meaningful when you're talking about resting guys against Rutgers. They're going to rest them against Indiana.
I would have the conference championship game be, if you have to do it that way, and again, I think 8 is the real number that you should have, but that's a whole nother conversation. We're up against it. I would have play-in games into the field of 12 or 16. So instead of having Ohio State play Indiana, have the 3 and the 4, let's say you have 3 automatic qualifiers and a 16 for the SEC and the Big Ten, have the 4 and the 5 play each other to get the 4 spot.
Because
all of this is just, it's all just inventory.
Nobody liked it.
It's all just inventory. Yeah, but no, they didn't, because they had the 1 play in the 2, too. Like, I don't need to see Ohio State play. I don't need another high leverage game for Ohio State coming out of Michigan.
So it has to be trade-offs, and we're not going backwards. So it's not like, ideally, what does everybody want, right? No, it's like real-world conversations, the trade-offs as we move forward. And I don't think 24 kills the sport. And I do think, like, we cannot only think about it from an Ohio State, Bama, Georgia, Texas perspective. Mm-hmm. I do think we have to think about it for Minnesota going 8-4, getting a chance to be the 23 seed is a gigantic thing. And frankly, it doesn't really affect Ohio State. So
the reality is you're going to be right on this because it's going to go to 24 and none of this is going to matter. So always a good talk, buddy. Appreciate you, pal.
I can't believe it. I was ready for 15 minutes on sleeves, man. Bo, you did it.
I've been doing it all week.
It's been a week-long victory lap. So congratulations, brother.
Thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Good talk to you, Joshua. I'll
Take
see
care.
You guys.
All right, there you go. We'll get to three things on a Friday up next. Bishop and Friends right here on the Fan.
James Lorna.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
It was so good the first time, we had to shove it down your ear hole again. This is the best of Bishop and Friends on the Fan, Ohio's sports destination. They'll offer betting advice, but don't bet on it being good. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, we got to move higher or lower. We're going to do, I was going to do, higher or lower comes now. We got to move.
Oh, we could rank the announcement by Ohio State.
We could do that.
Do we need the breaking news sounder here?
Yeah, do it. Hit it. You got one?
We have one?
Do we have one on this show? I don't know if you've ever used one on this show.
I don't have one on my end. I just do higher or lower.
They could have given us a 30-second heads up
to have it.
Well, this all is just happening so fast.
Yeah, this was 10 a.m. on the dot. Off. Like our legal hit, and Baker's like, "Did you see Ohio State's announcement?" I'm like, "Well, I don't have time to throw it in the update."
Here we go.
Now we're talking. And breaking news out of Ohio State 2 minutes ago. I believe the technical term is they are back.
Oh, baby.
After 20 long years, countless hours on this program, countless. I can't even tell you how many times I've tried to speak this into existence. The amount of people that I've talked to about this, from Gene Smith to Urban Meyer to Ryan Day to Ross Bjork to Top Gun Ted before he got into trouble in hot water. All of them. I begged them all, please do this. Please do this. And they did. The gray is back. After 20 long years, the gray is back. It actually looks silver, which is spectacular.
It looks really glorious. Matches the helmet.
It does match the helmet. In a tweet titled, "Not Done Yet, Ohio State Football Dropped the Scarlet and Gray and the White Over Gray with Gray Sleeves. At long last, our struggle is over, boys. At long last."
Congratulations to all involved.
It does
feel like Ohio State's serious in their desire to make more money for name, image, and likeness efforts in old Columbus Town, because these are going to be hot. Julian Sane, understandably, is rocking the scarlet uniform with those heritage stripes. And it is more silver, but it's great because the silver matches the pants, almost matches the helmet. And it's similarly on, the white still looks great. This is
so good.
This is understanding the assignment after the announcement earlier this week of the tunnel vision black uniforms with those stripes. Good job, everybody.
Go ahead, Bake, your thoughts. Go ahead.
I want Ball State tomorrow. This looks great.
115 days, brother.
Like, as much as we've wanted this, I didn't realize how much I wanted this.
I mean, I don't know that I could articulate any more how much I've wanted this over the years. I mean, this has been one of my big, I feel like everything's coming. My job here is almost done. My job here is almost done. I'm getting the calendar fixed. We got gray on sleeves. Like, all of these things are working. This is everything I've ever wanted. It's all happening.
I mean, you can now, well, I'll say this. When the Ohio State Buckeyes win the national championship on January 26th, you can take your rightful place at your school's drop-off line. knowing that you did the job of making Ohio State and Columbus a better place.
Yeah. I think so, too.
I mean, your application to replace Top Gun Teddy is done now.
I feel like so.
Let's give him the job.
Let me do it. Give me a little taste of this. They look spectacular. It does say not done yet.
Oh.
So, some things you become aware of when you've been around here long enough. So I had a pretty good inkling that this was happening and was very, very thrilled about that it was going to happen. But it says not done yet. And so I'm curious, then it makes you say, well, okay, what else is possible here? If we're going to go with
now, it feels like anything's possible.
I don't even care. Like, what anything beyond this, do whatever you need to do. But this is the uniform that the Buckeyes should wear. This is it. They're finally back in it.
So, Bo, we were correct here. Fish has forwarded us the release from Ohio State.
Okay.
And it says these core uniforms with the Buckeye stripe now in metallic silver sleeves.
Okay.
So we were right on that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially on the away one, it really glistens. So here's the thing that's kind of weird about, we got quirky stuff around here. Like this state, like in our teams, we just got quirky stuff. Like we're named after a poisonous nut. There's just some stuff that's kind of quirky. And I understand it's the men of Scarlet and Gray, but I think it's really kind of red and silver, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
To be honest, like from a football perspective, it's kind of more red and silver than it is scarlet.
Not much
and gray. No, it's really much more silver. I'm curious if the pants have a little shimmer to them as well.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Tell. The only thing else you could do here is just bring back silver pants, and it would all match perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah, which they wore those in the 90s. And I thought the reason that they got rid of those is, or what we were told, is they couldn't make them shimmer the way that they did in the new fabric. I think that was the deal.
Now you can have any of them.
Obviously, the Raiders do it, so it works out for them. So I guess if you wanted to, you could. But these are spectacular. I'm over the moon, kids. Now, the key to this is that you learn, and this will be an interesting one. We'll do a live little experiment on the program. The key is, did you learn the mistakes of the Tiger Woods drop from a year ago, as you guys remember, when he dropped his new gear, Sunday Red, but you couldn't buy it anywhere? So they've unveiled these uniforms. Now the question is, are they available for purchase? So we are going live to Fanatics right now. We are on because it's a cartel and that's the way that it works. Sorry for those. Just is. They're about the only place you get it. No, they're not available yet there.
So
when are they available at the bookstore?
So in the email, shop now with an exclamation point. Replica jersey sales will launch this July through the Ohio State Team Shop. Additional player-specific merchandise, hats, hoodies, shirts, collectibles will roll out closer to the 2026 season in-store or online at GoBuckeyes.com. So it looks like July, which have them ready to go today.
Yeah, you could have just waited on this drop until July then. They're my guys. I'm thrilled. I'm not going to complain about anything. If you give me a 30-second, what I would say is drop these two first. So you don't have kind of the confusion around the black uniform, which you dropped on Monday. So I would have dropped these first. Then I would have dropped the black one. So you go, they're not done yet. You drop that. Then you drop the black one the next day. Kind of, oh, here's a little surprise for you kids. And then that one drops in. People are bouncing off the walls. But I do think it in an ideal world, it's available now.
I would say maybe in a month on June 14th, you make pre-orders available. You just open it up to that if you don't have the physical, or you send some out, like 770 Twin Rivers Drive. You could send a couple too. Just the jerseys, though. Don't send us anything else, please.
Yeah, I hope they also, one of the things that I think they've, all of college athletics have struggled a little bit with this NIL and all of this. Here's a piece of advice. Take it if you want. Whether you do it at the team shop in the shot or you do it, that one's the easiest because it has the most parking for like general fans or wherever you're going to have like your number one Buckeye place. And a lot of it would probably be online. Have an ability to print these live, not just for adult sizes, but kid sizes as well. I mean, the Browns have this up in their pro shop. Like you can go in there and they just have a template blank Browns jerseys. And you can go in there. They're all the brown one, but you can go in there and get any number you want, any name on the back that you want. And have that available, that technology. That shouldn't be that hard to have just a bunch of blank, small, medium, large youth jerseys where you can just print a number on them, print the name on it, and give a percentage of those sales to the athletes whose name goes on the back, or none of it if you want to customize it. But that should be available. I mean, there's ways to print even more money with this stuff than it could be. But overall, thrilled. I'm curious about the not done yet. Like, what else could be happening?
I do wonder maybe if that's just referencing the earlier announcement.
Could be.
What I was thinking.
And saying, well, we gave you this on Monday. Now here's this.
Yeah. I wonder if they're going to drop a white pant and a red pant, because they have those in the catalog. So
could be. We have talked about this forever on this show. And Bo,
I've talked about this for 20 years.
Yeah, you've talked about this, and sometimes it almost seems like, well, maybe this isn't that big of a deal. Maybe nobody really cares.
No.
And then you look at them dropping this in Twitter, and Albert Breer's reposted, and Bill Landis, and just we reposted, and everybody's liking it. Yeah, this is a major deal.
It was a major deal when they took them off. Massive deal when they took them off. I've talked to Bob about this. I've talked to Threes about this. I've talked to Dom. Anybody who was around when they took it off was like, what are you doing? It was like the number one news story. My wife was at Channel 4 at the time. I remember her on the anchor desk, like, reading the story and how controversial it was to take gray off the sleeves. And they were off for 20 years on the regular uniform. And it never made sense to anybody, ever. And now it's back. And by the way, I love this thing too, and I think these have it. I don't see like the full up close, but these just have the block O, right?
Yeah.
I've said that for years too. Forget the word state across the O. Just make the block O the logo.
Yeah, they know.
Now they
have
the block O on the yoke.
Yeah.
Everybody knows what the block O is, man. You don't need to put state across it. This is no notes. Chef's kiss, perfection. The white one with the silver really pops.
Yes. That's that the whole Ohio State in that logo. That was just a bunch of marketing people that had no clue about Ohio State, which makes no sense.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't need to qualify it. Everybody knows what a block O and scarlet and gray is.
You've trademarked the people know. Yes.
They know. That's a big win. Good job. Good job, Buckeyes. Thank you, Coach Day. Thank you, Ross, everybody involved with that, the folks at Nike who finally listened. Those are perfect. No notes, pristine. The best uniforms in college football are back on the reg here in Old Columbus Town. That's a win for all of us. We'll do a little higher, lower coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. Common Man and Tinny are inviting select jabronis to the station for pizza. Hey, that could be you. Email goodcleanboy@gmail.com and tell us why you should be chosen.
Presented by Billiards Plus and sponsored by Paisano Peppers.
The Fan. The Fan. Let's take a listen back to when we were awesome. You're listening to the best of Bishop and Friends. The Fan. The Fan. Ohio sports destination.
This is ESPN's Paul Feinbaum.
All right, Mr. Feinbaum. Have you ever covered the Masters? Have you ever been to the tournament?
Yes. Back to my newspaper days, I got the assignment and covered it for about 20 years and saw... I guess the most amazing thing was Tiger's first win. That's something I'll never forget. But it was the first time, Bo, as most people listening can relate if they've been there. It's a little bit like Alice in Wonderland.
So that's what I was curious, because so many have not and will never get the ability to walk those grounds. You used Alice in Wonderland. To me, my hunch would be that it would feel like walking onto a movie set. And what are some of the things in terms of what the parameters they put on you for coverage, if any? Once you are someone who is credentialed, what is that all about?
It has changed. When I first went over there nearly 30 years ago, there really weren't any. And to tell you the truth, I didn't know what was a guy who had covered golf in the newspaper had died, so I was kind of a last-minute replacement. And I went into a place and sat down and ordered lunch, and there was nobody in there. Because I was told you could do that. You could go into a lot of places. I didn't realize until I started seeing some very familiar names that I was in the Players Lounge at Augusta National. So when the bill came for my, burger and fries, I really didn't know what to do. I was afraid I'd get kicked out if I said I was in the wrong place. And I will tell this for the first time. I signed the check, Arnold Palmer. Did you really? And got up and ran. And so Palmer got stiff for about a $9 burger. But there was no, I mean, I had a hat on and sunglasses. And at the time, you know, 30 years, I looked like I might be a, you know, an aging golfer. But it was, it's truly remarkable. You can almost, I don't think you can do it anymore. I haven't been in a couple of years, but you can literally go anywhere. You can walk into the, at the time you, I walked up into the champions locker. I mean, it's everything. I mean, it's a little overdone on TV for obvious reasons, but it's incredibly hilly. It's very pretty. It's kind of stuck in the middle of just a awful piece of property on Washington Avenue or Washington Road in Augusta, between a bunch of Hooters and Chili's and, you know, dollar stores. I mean, it is, you would never believe where you are.
That is an unbelievable story. Arnold Palmer. That's great. Well, did you at least order Arnold Palmer? Did you order the drink?
I'm glad I did. I was convinced every time I saw one of these green jackets walk by that I was going to be called up and sent home on the first trip to Augusta.
One of the things that you hear from people who have been there like you did for so many years is it's very difficult to get in. But once you get in, you it's as cool as it gets. And when you say that, you could go anywhere. That's awesome. Thank you for telling that story.
I'll tell you one more story on that. Because I mean, it doesn't matter, Bo, where, if you're from the Weekly Reader or Columbus or Cleveland, as once you go, you're in, because they used to, it wasn't all that easy to get people to go back in the 30s and 40s. So one year, it was 1994. I'd been covering it for 9 or 10 years. My boss said, listen, I know you love going to Augusta, but we got a bigger story in town on Friday night, so you can't, you know. And I'm like, are you out of your mind? So it was the Birmingham Barons debut of Michael Jordan. On Friday night, I'm covering this game, thinking, okay, my trip to Augusta's have ended. Saturday afternoon, I get a call from a guy. He said, hey, I'm flying over to Augusta, Marty. Do you want to go? I said, absolutely. So on Sunday morning at 9:30, I am waiting in line to get my credentials. And I'll never forget, I think it was John Feinstein, the great writer, looked over to me and like did one of these, you know, rubbing of hands, like, oh, the nerve of you to show up at Augusta on the final day to preserve your credentials. But I did. And thank goodness I did, because 2 years later, I got to see the greatest collapse I've ever seen. Greg Norman blowing a 6-shot lead. And then the next year, Tiger won.
Oh, my gosh. Did you ever play it? Did you win the lottery to play?
I will. Let me save that for the next time.
Okay, next time.
Because, but I had the opportunity to play once, but I didn't. It's easily the maybe done in my life.
Yeah, I bet so. That was awesome.
Save
great
that story for a rainy day.
We'll take it on a rainy day. No rain here today. Sun kissed, and among other things, but the sun has been shining on the Big Ten Conference. Three straight football national championships, women's basketball national champ. How much attention is this getting in your neck of the woods? My guess is the three straight footballs are much more alarming than anything else.
Getting quite a bit, though, because every unemployed drunk in Michigan has called this week to remind us of that. And apparently it's a lot. So, I mean, these guys will call in and go, hey, what do you think? And I'll go, I don't respond. And like, you know, my feeling is that if somebody wants to call in and give us crap, I mean, at least make a phone call. Don't make me do the work. But yeah, it's a big story down here.
We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Thanks, bro.
There he goes, Paul Five. That takes some stones to sign it, Arnold Palmer. We'll do a little thing or not a thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
I'm Leslie from
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. It was so good the first time, we had to shove it down your ear hole again. This is the best of Bishop and Friends on The Fan, Ohio sports destination. First Friday miracles are always better with Uncle Bo. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, let's head out on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Conversation with Ohio State head football coach Ryan Day. Coach, thank you so much for taking the time. I have to say, I'm envious. You had probably one of the four or five coolest moments of the NFL draft, and I'm not talking about all of your guys going in the first round or all of them being drafted. Your comedic timing on the zinger to Saban, buddy. Where does your comedic inspiration come from?
I thought we could smile a little bit, laugh a little bit. I was just thinking on the trip over, you know, when they asked about Caleb, what do you say? I mean, the guy was sort of ready made, I think, when he came out of high school. And I thought if the timing was right and coach was there, we could maybe get a smile on him.
Well, you got a little bit more than that. That was a heck of a moment. And then after that, you have this incredible thing. And I was thinking about that's probably when you go all the way back to why you got into this. I'm sure that was part of it. And that's the apex of it. I don't know if you ever dared to dream that you'd have four first rounders or four guys in the first 11 of an NFL draft, all of which you recruited and developed and under your watch, obviously Caleb in the transfer portal, but nevertheless here for 2 years. What was that moment like for you? Were you able to appreciate that in the moment, what the program and your relationship with those kids meant and to manifest in that way?
I think every year you look at your job as a coach, and you know our number one job here is to win games. Totally get that. But then the other part of just the day-to-day is the development of young people. And you know a lot of it is looking 40, 50 years down the road at success that they'll have as, you know, in the business world, as husbands and, as fathers. But then obviously the football part of it is critical. And so our job is to make sure that we surround these guys with everything they need. And so when you look at the best strength coach in America, when you look at the two coordinators we have, the position coaches, the fan base, the stage that these guys play on, that's the job of the coaches is to surround them with the best. And then to watch them reach their dreams the way that they did. And all these guys had kind of different ways to get there. You look mm-hmm. at Caleb's story and Sonny's is different than Arvell's, and then Carnell's, they're all different stories, but they embraced what we do on a day-to-day basis. And now having a son that's going through the process of recruiting, you see it from a father's perspective of when you hand somebody over, it's your responsibility to look at them, you're not their father, but you look at it that way. And that, we want to make sure that these guys understand that winning for the Buckeyes is number one, but we're also really proud of the development of these guys and where they are. And for these guys, they're all young. They're suddenly reclassified, and the rest of the guys are juniors. So to see them in such a short period of time get themselves and play in top 10 picks is pretty impressive.
Ryan, one of the things I think that has been so incredible during your tenure here is, and I know you guys talk about it's a 4-year decision for 40 years of your life or however you want to phrase it. But one thing I think you guys have done an incredible job is really finding kids who fit what makes this place so special in terms of a complete buy-in of brotherhood and all the things you guys teach. The sport's changed a lot. You had to go into the portal a little bit more than you guys previously had, and that's just part of it. A lot of new faces, and that's the way that the sport is going. I've kind of termed that a little bit of like shotgun marriages. How can you vet somebody? Obviously, you can't vet them the way that you did when you start recruiting when they're 16 years old. But how can you vet somebody in that amount of time to a satisfactory level for your standards?
Well, I think the first thing is I talked to Mark Pantone, his staff, and then the coordinators and position coaches that it's their job to make sure they look at the player. And, I watch everybody's film and I'm involved in every decision, but ultimately, I want to know who they want to coach. And so, you bring in, take, for instance, a linebacker. When they come and they sit on my couch and they've been offered a scholarship, they probably have the ability to play here. They've hand selected their ability level. But my job as the head coach is to make sure it's a culture fit. And a big part of that now is the sphere of influence. It's the agents, it's the parents, it's everybody around the young man to make sure that they understand that this is more about being a Buckeye than it is about, how much money you can make or yourself. And we have an obligation. I mean, the history of this program, the tradition of this program, the amount of people that are watching us play on Saturday, and it's a part of their identity and part of who they are, they need to understand that. So, we talk a lot about that on the front end. And then when we bring guys in recruiting, we can really, hammer that home. In the portal, like you're talking about, once we get in December and January, when you look at the guys that we brought in, there were connections there. You know, these guys weren't just people brought in. I mean, you look at the guys from Alabama, you know, with James and Quay and then Earl, they were all with Caleb as freshmen at Alabama. And you look at Kyle Parker, he was at LSU with Hankton. And you look at, if you look at Terry Moore, he was with McGarry at Duke. You look at Cam Calhoun, he's from Winton Woods. So Mason Williams is from Ohio. So these guys, you know, a lot of these guys had connections already, so they do understand what it means. And we try to be really clear on the front end. This is, you know, once you get here, you know, we're going to do everything we can to develop you. We have a blueprint that if you follow the blueprint, it works pretty good for you. But at the same time, it has to be about the team and the brotherhood.
So that is you guys look, that's a, even in the portal, like that's still find me a connection. I still got to know as much as I can about this guy. And what feels from the outside looking in, coach, is it feels like a 2-week window. Is it that tight?
Yeah. And a lot of times it's while we're getting ready to play mm-hmm. our next game in the playoffs, which that's a conversation that you and I could have where, you know, I think what we're doing is we're having a hard time putting all of these issues and look at them through one lens. I think they're all happening in sort of like silos is the best way mm-hmm. to put it. You know, when you have the portal, when that opens, you have the amount of teams that are in the playoffs, you have the calendar itself. So you add all those things together, boy, it makes for kind of a crazy December and January. So I think one of the things that, you know, I'm going to keep trying to challenge everybody, and we go to our Big Ten meetings here in a couple of weeks, is like we need to make these decisions with all of those things in mind. Mm-hmm. Not just individual decision. I think there's a lot of thoughts out there about all of these issues, but to me, like we need the season to be over before we start going down the portal of figuring out who our next team is going to be and our next roster is going to look like. But it is what it is right now. And so, yeah, during that time period, we are looking for those connections and making sure these guys understand what it means to be at Ohio State.
Yeah, there's a model out there. You were in it. It's the NFL. It's pretty simple. There's a calendar there that's you can mimic it in certain ways. Can you imagine your time in the league if you were trying to do the NFL combine in free agency while preparing for a playoff game? That's what you guys got to do.
That's exactly right. And to your point, Bo, like we have like what are we comparing ourselves to? I know we're our own thing, but you know we need to start going and looking towards other models on how we can best, you know, adapt and you know, find our way in this world that we're living in. Because we know the amateur model. We're in the amateur model for a long time. And I still think that there's a place for an amateur model. You know, we would have to change some things mm-hmm. where, you know, now guys can go right to the NFL their freshman year. We'd have to create a really strong enforcement arm. But that is a model. Mm-hmm. You know, we lived in that model for a long, long time. Then there's the Major League Baseball model, which is where it's just open market, and we're just going. We're somewhere in between right now, and you know I think that we need to really take a hard look at like where do we want to be in 10 years, not just make these decisions like okay with a year ahead of us or a 12-month runway in front of us because. You know, where we're going in this thing is going to be critically important. And I think, you know, as I look at it, you know, there's only a few models that make sense to me. But in the meantime, we're going to do everything we can to make sure Ohio State is that, you know, still a leader at the forefront and we're doing what's best for our program.
And the craziest thing about all of the coaches, it's never been more popular. There's all of this chaos and it's the second biggest sport in this country. I mean, you and I are about the same age. Imagine that growing up with baseball and all of the things that you used to watch, Celtics, Lakers in the 80s, all of it. This annihilates it. It's far and away the second most popular sport. And so it just keeps growing and growing and growing. Coach, is it this will be your 10th season here. 10 years, man.
Goes fast. It goes fast. Yeah, think about where it was and where it is right now. It's amazing. So, my question is, where is it going to be in 10 years from right now? Mm-hmm. And trying to project that out the best way we possibly can is where we need to go. But to your point, like you said, on the field is on the field. And it mm-hmm. still comes down to players. It comes down to who's going to come together. That's what the summer is all about for us, is coming together as a team, offense, defense, special teams, creating a chemistry. Because, you know, we're going to get challenged this year. There's no question about it. I mean, you look at the schedule that we have ahead of us, we're going to have to win games in the fourth quarter this season. We're going to learn a lot about ourselves and we push through this schedule, you know, we'll be playoff ready at the end of the season. But this summer is going to be critically important on how we start the first half of the season.
Coach, this summer critically important for you personally as well. You referenced RJ earlier going through the process. Also, his last summer at home as a father, has that hit you? And are you making sure that you take advantage? I know you're very busy, but every moment that you have.
Man, yeah, I can't believe it's just about over. You know, we spent so much time together, and that's probably been the blessing of this whole process that I probably wouldn't have had if I chose another profession. But my favorite thing has just been watching him trace what he loves. He's obsessed with it. And his growth, you know, on a monthly basis has been tremendous. And so, yeah, I'm hoping by the time we get to the summer, he knows where he's going. And but yeah, you can't bring that up in our house. It's almost like we just don't talk about it because I don't want to hear about it. And certainly my wife doesn't want to hear about it. So we're just going to act like it's not going to happen and then deal with it when it happens, I guess.
The days are long, the years are fast, right? I mean, that's what they say on that, my man. Yeah, fun summer for you guys. Can't wait for you guys to get back. I will, we got your buddy in mind, Tabari, coming up here in 18 minutes, Coach. I know that you probably are aware of this. He's terrified of the water. Apparently, he snorkeled for the first time. So,
oh, boy, that's been something to watch.
You said it, brother. Smoke.
You said it. An Italian guy snorkeling like that is not a good scene. You know, I hope he had some sort of a vest on.
Well, he probably needed one, man. Coach, appreciate you, buddy, not just for the time today, but for the way that you carry yourself and the way that you represent the program. Thank you so much for your time today, pal.
All right, Paul, you're the best, man. Appreciate it.
All right, there he goes, Ohio State head coach Ryan Day. A lot of good stuff there, and the big picture stuff, you keep hearing it from coaches. You keep hearing it. Like, they know what is required in the sport. It's there. You just need real leadership to be able to get there. We'll get into that coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Your favorite fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept. And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Bern. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Let's take a listen back to when we were awesome. You're listening to the best of Bishop and Friends. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Let me introduce you to a man with a magnificent salt and pepper beard. A man who's currently roasting lamb on a spit. A man who runs the Rocky River Greek Festival. That man is Jake Trotter.
Indeed it is, and he joins on the Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. So, you are a senior national college football reporter at ESPN. How were you made aware, or maybe you weren't, that the Big Ten was conducting their media meetings where they were, when they were?
Yeah, I think I knew probably a couple months ago. I mean, they've done this every year. Unlike the SEC, they just don't do media. They meet, but it's, I don't want to say it's clandestine, it's just not public. In the SEC, conversely, they are in the news because they have people talking and, you know, they smartly make it, you know, an advertising opportunity. So this, I think this is in part a response to that by the Big Ten. So I knew that it was going to be potentially different than what it had been before, even last year. And that's why we had people out there covering it, because we knew that people were going to talk, including the commissioner of the league.
Yeah. So the reason I asked, and you'd laid it out perfectly, 100% correct. Yes, the SEC is going to have theirs in 2 weeks. It'll be in Destin at the Sandestin Resort. They invite the entire Southern media to it. And as you know, Jake, the entire Southern media will show up. They'll all be there. Paul will be there doing his show and the rest of it. The Big Ten, which is a conference rooted in the Midwest. Now, I acknowledge they have four schools on the West Coast now, chose to do theirs at the Terranea Resort, which is a 5-star resort on the coast in Southern California. How does that land for you?
It's like last year, you know, having your Big Ten media days in Las Vegas. It was pretty much what you would expect. It was a paltry attendance by the media, because it's hard to get to Vegas for you know, people who cover Penn State and State College, or, you know, Maryland, or, you know, anybody, essentially, really anybody. I mean, even the California, the West Coast schools, it's not super close to Vegas unless you're like in LA. So, yeah, I don't, again, they're not, they don't do that to make it convenient for the media. I think they do it because of what you laid out. It's a nice place to hang out for everybody for the weekend, for the week. Yeah. That's kind of what the thinking is. And you would probably know better than I. Like, I don't, did they publicize it with, you know, any of the beat reporters that there was going to be, you know, this opportunity to talk to Petiti, among others?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I knew about it, but I don't think most people knew that, you know, like Wade, for example, was going to talk about steadying the ship at Michigan and stuff like that.
No, I don't think so. I think it was like, and I think in a way it's set up to be pretty, it's kind of like NFL owners meetings. It's kind of the way they're doing it. Cause that's, you know, those are at posh five-star resorts and, in spectacular locations. And that's the same thing here. And it's just a tough one. And to, you know, you think about the constituency of people that listening to this show, the people that, and you kind of hang in this area in terms of the teams that you talk about, just at Penn State, you do Michigan, you do Ohio State, Notre Dame, these type of places. It's just a tough pill to swallow when you cry poor on everything and then you behave this way outwardly. It's a tough pill for people to swallow.
No, absolutely. There's a lot of that going on. And by the way, did I say Wade? I meant to say Ward.
Yeah, Ward Manuel. Yeah.
Yeah, Ward. Yeah, I mean, it's strange. I mean, I don't understand some of the thinking behind it. Like, if it were me and I was trying to get, you know, my league written about as much as possible, I would try to make it as accessible as possible for people that cover the league. And that's just not at, you know, plush resorts in Southern California. And it's not at the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. It's just really hard, you know, given some of the budget constraints that everybody's dealing with, to make it to some of those places. So, I mean, like, you know, we'll be there, but, you know, Radio Row is not going to be extensive in Las Vegas for Big Ten Media Days.
No, it's not. So the execution, I think we can say you and I would both agree, is a borderline fail in terms of what they're trying to do to get their messaging out in the best way possible. How about the actual message itself? I was actually optimistic a little bit that Ryan said yesterday that it's debatable whether a 24 team is best for Ohio State. You can go back and forth on that, but certainly it's best for the conference and great for college football in general. I don't know that I agree with him on the last part of it. I certainly at least agree with him on the first part, that it's debatable. It's best for Ohio State. Ohio State's going to come out of this unaffected. They're going to make this thing every single year. It's not about them at all,
no matter what.
So the question is, should Ohio State care about the seventh best team in the Big Ten?
No, I don't think they should care either way. But so this is basically the argument, correct me if I'm wrong, that Petiti was making. And like, they've been making this kind of behind the scenes for really like a year and a half. I mean, I started hearing about 24 teams, I feel like, yeah, maybe a year ago, maybe it was a year ago I started hearing about it. But
yeah,
essentially the argument has been, an argument was by Petiti, who really hasn't talked about it directly. He's kind of talked about it through other channels and coaches and administrators in the league. But essentially, you know, we should want more teams in the postseason. And he said, I don't understand why this is not more popular in college football. We never had to make this case in Major League Baseball. But I mean, 24, that's a lot of teams that are just going to have no shot to win the national championship.
It's a lot of bad TV shows. And that's what this is really all about, right? It's how do we create more TV shows for our partners so that this playoff can be opened up beyond ESPN and we can make more money, because we have to find money because none of us are going to take a pay cut. That's my read on it.
That's what this is about. That's
exactly what it's about.
It's not about, they will give you other reasons, but there's really no other reason. This is just about generating more revenue. And so, more playoff games equals more revenue. Not that we think it's better for the sport, because that thinking has gone out the window decades ago. You know, UCLA would not be in the Big Ten if we were thinking about what was best, you know, for the sport and for student athletes, et cetera. This is about everybody keeping the contracts that they have and making, you know, more money than they already do, especially now since they have to, you know, cut a pie, slice of the pie for the players. I like the one thing I did like is he said plan B is 12,
yeah,
not 16. So let's just keep it at 12.
Fine.
Like,
fine.
Hopefully that's what ends up happening. Because the other thing I don't like is the constantly moving the goalpost mm-hmm. in the postseason. So 1 year it's going to be 4, then 8, then 16, 24, back to 16. Can we just have like some continuity in college football, like for like at least 5 years?
Yes.
Before we try to change it again? Because that's what it feels. It feels like it's just everything is going to change so rapidly, so frequently, that we're going to lose, you know, any semblance of continuity, which I think you need for the credibility of the game, right?
I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah. Give me 7 years of a 12-team playoff so I can get used to it. Get the calendar fixed.
Or, you know what? Go to
solve the things that you can solve.
Keep it there. Yeah.
Fine, I guess. I don't want 24, but whatever. Yeah. Pick a path and stick with it. We put polls up all the time, Jake. There's not a single one of our polls that we put up. And again, it's just a Columbus, Ohio, and we're viewing everything through a scarlet and gray lens. But there's not a single poll we've put up that has anybody saying 24 is the best. That's always the fourth option. Nobody wants it around here. And I suppose I question, like, I'm very curious, and you've been to some of these outposts, and there's some comments from the Iowa State Athletic Director about maybe we should, you know, break away from the Big Ten and the SEC, let them do their own thing, that type of thing.
Okay.
You've been to Ames. Does that change the end of their season if they're the 20 seed in a 24-team playoff?
I don't sense there's, like, a great clamor for 24, even from the people that would theoretically benefit from it. Do you?
No. In fact, I could argue, one of the things he's arguing is, oh, well, and this is the type of game he's talking about. Now all of a sudden, Iowa, Minnesota is going to matter more.
Great.
Buddy, like they play for a bronze pig. It's mattered for 100 years, no matter what those records are. I don't think being the 20 seed versus being the 19 seed is going to change their give a damn for that game.
Correct. And the other part of it is by going to 12 and making conference championships meaningful, although we've devalued those now too, there are a lot of games that matter from the perspective of the playoff that didn't before.
Yes.
Especially in the non-Big Ten, non-SEC conferences. And those conferences are already getting the at-large berths anyway. So they've got their own meaningful games. But if you win the Big 12, you get in. Like that makes Iowa State versus Kansas State big if the teams are in the conference title race. So, again, and here's my other issue, too. Like, as soon as it goes to 24, guess what's going to happen, Bo? Then we're going to hear 30. Then we're going to 32. Then we're going to, like, 60. Yeah. I mean, nobody was clamoring for the NCAA tournament to get expanded from 64. What is it now? 76? Can't even remember.
Went from 64 to 68 to 76. Nobody wanted any of it.
Nobody wants any of it. It's like we're taking things that work and we're breaking them because of what? More money.
Got to find money somewhere, buddy. All right, pal. Well, I think we solved a lot of problems today. We'll see you, buddy.
Bye.
There he goes. Jake Trotter, senior college football reporter at ESPN on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. We'll do Thing or Not a Thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here on the Fan.
Hey, what's up? It's T-Bone.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
It was so good the first time, we had to shove it down your ear hole again. This is the best of Bishop and Friends on the Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Bishop and Friends present Tuesdays with Tabari.
Sponsored by Green & Sons. Find your next Kubota tractor at Green & Sons, located in Mount Sterling and north of Marysville, and online at greenandsons.com.
And he joins on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. What are you up to these days? Still 2 weeks from the Memorial, man.
I weigh 189 pounds now.
Do you really?
That's what I'm up to.
I'm so proud of you, buddy.
Yeah. Well, this getting old is for the birds, son. Let me tell you something. It's not the golden years. They're not so golden. You know? What's the saying? Youth is wasted on the young.
I think that's true.
You know? I mean, are you even 40 yet?
Yes, you know I am.
I'm teasing. Anyways, let me tell you something. Once you get over 40, I never took a pill in my life.
Oh, God.
But once you get over 40, then you get over 50, and then you get in the 60s, look, it's like, here, have some candy. They're pills.
Like a supplement bin.
There you go.
Just sucking down horse pills.
Oh, my God.
What's this do? Oh, it does this. Okay, I guess I'll take it. I don't know.
Yeah, let's
take it. What else? Give me six more of those. What does that do?
I started lifting weights again, too, a little bit. My doctor got on me, said, you got to start lifting.
So the idea is, as we age, right, those muscles, it's a use them or lose them situation, right?
Well, I guess.
Do you still take Damo?
No, I'm not. I'm done with that. I told you what happened down in Hilton Head a few years ago.
When was the first time he tried you, and were you smart enough to not let him get you?
Well, where I learned my lesson, I was down in Hilton Head on vacation. We're down there, and he was 21 at the time.
Oof.
And, you know, I still thought I was like this big, bad wrestler from DeSales. And I said, all right, boy, mount me. See if you can keep, you know, I said, see if you could get me on my back. We're wrestling.
All right.
And I was going to do a switch for the wrestlers out there. I was going to do a switch. And like, I tried to make the move. And we're wrestling on carpet, on concrete. There was, you know, it was like one of those condo deals. And I go to make the switch. And boom, he caught me, and all of a sudden, all of his weight comes down on my ribs. And I heard something crack, and I said, oh, what was that? And we had been to the Frosty Frog, so, you know, it was all right, whatever.
A little bit of swing juice.
Had a little soda pop. Anyways, why else would I wrestle my 21-year-old son? Sounded like a good idea at the time. Anyways, I wake up at 4:30 in the morning, and I go, oh, my God, Terry, I can't breathe. She goes, what's wrong? I don't know. Oh, and I was in such pain. This was the second day we were in Hilton Head. We were there for 2 weeks. You know, I would go in August.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I remember that well, yeah.
I have to go to the doctors. I went to, like, an ER emergency, you know, whatever. And I go in there, and this doctor comes in. And he goes, let me get this straight. You got injured wrestling your son? And I go, yes, sir. He goes, how old are you? I said, I don't know. I'm like 60, 61. He goes, and you're wrestling your son? No, I was 59. He goes, you're 59. He goes, you know, I'm 74, sir. And I was the New York State champion wrestler. And you know what? I quit wrestling. What are you doing? Well, you know, I don't know.
He browbeat you?
Oh, my gosh. He like, embarrassed me. He wanted to make sure that my son wasn't just beating me up. I said, no, I said, come on, boy, mount me. And then all hell broke loose. Yeah.
That's
a true story. Ask Terry Tiberi. She goes, you got what you deserve. You're such an idiot.
So, yeah. Oh, it's the doc affirmed that, I think, probably.
Yeah.
You wrestle the little guys, the little grandbabies? You wrestle them?
No, not right now. But I'll tell you, Lucci, you know, we call him Sammy the Bull because he don't play around. Lucci's three, and he gets, well, I'll send you the picture. I'll post it.
You don't want him to be Sammy the Bull. Sammy the Bull's a rat.
Well, no, I know, but I mean, he's like, oh, I'm going to send you this picture I made. I'll post it on Twitter so the folks can see it. AI is amazing. I made a picture of the boys hanging with Michael Corleone. You'll see it. It's pretty cute.
But so which one's Michael? Which one's Sonny? Which one's Fredo?
Well,
maybe don't give one Fredo because that's...
No, yeah, we don't want
to insult anybody.
And it didn't,
who's a Michael? Who's Sonny?
Well, there's a real Michael Corleone, and then there's the you'll see it. You got to see it first. It's
no, I know, but like, which one has that personality? Which one has the Sonny personality? Which one has the Michael personality?
Michael would definitely be Lucci. He's calculating.
Yeah,
you don't want to cross him, man.
Yeah,
and Gio, Gio's kind of like Sonny. He's got a temper.
Little temper to him.
Yeah, when he gets mad, you know. But, you know, and then we have little Mia Marie.
The little princess.
The little princess. And that's why the boys, Kelsey got them shirts that said security, brothers, whatever. And it's,
yeah.
And I said, all right, guys, I'll post both pictures, the original and then the one I made. But I said, all right, boys, act like you're protecting your sister. What do you see this?
That's
Lucci's eyes. Oh my gosh. His eyes are scary.
It's why he's a lovely. I've seen the little champion. I can't wait. Yeah. I mean, that's spectacular. So you'll put that up. Hey, it's kind of weird the way that the calendar worked this year that we have Memorial Day this weekend. Normally coming out of that, we're into the Memorial Tournament.
I know. Isn't it crazy?
And now we got 2 weeks.
You got the Indy 500 coming and all that. Yeah, I was with Jack a couple weeks ago. It was great visiting with him.
Mm-hmm.
He really looked good, and he was really in a good mood. It was a great interview. But yeah, the Memorial's right around the corner. Indy 500. I mean, how about our Cavs? How about
that? Well, that's what's fun. You remember this, like when the Cavs go, and I'm curious because like when LeBron was there. This city really got behind it.
Right.
I mean, Dom, we used to go cover them.
I'm feeling it. I'm feeling a little bit of that right now.
A little bit of juice?
Yeah. And I'll tell you what. I've seen a lot of people beat up on James Harden, but this club would not be where they're at without James Harden. He's to me, been a difference maker.
How would you look with that beard? Can you grow a beard like that?
I love it. As a matter of fact, with AI, you know, the company made me learn how to do AI. I put that beard on our new weather guy, Chris Tomer. Really looked nice. Looked like an Amish gentleman.
Can you grow a beard?
Could I grow a beard? I could have one by the end of the day. I'm like,
why have you not ever had facial hair?
Because I'm not allowed. I'm not like Bakes.
That is not true. You're not allowed. Things have changed. You can get a beard now. You can have a mustache. Well, who's stopping you?
I'll let you go in and work it out. I was told that you don't see people on television with facial hair because you're not trusted.
My guess is by that response. Trusted. By that response, you haven't asked anybody that since DeAngelis was running this place.
When Gene DeAngelo, I came here with a cookie duster, a mustache.
That's like 40 years ago.
It was 45. And
you got
counting?
Guys in mustaches
who's
and counting? Beards all over TV.
Even
now.
Prisoners get paroled, right? Anyway, right. 45 years. And that was it. Hey, by the way, I want to give you my hot take.
Go ahead.
The SEC is going to cave. The SEC.
You want 24 teams? I don't want them to cave. I hate 24 teams.
It's happening. Do you know
the
why?
Only way they don't is if ESPN has their back.
ESPN can't. It's too big and there's too much money. The money, follow the money. You know that. Follow the money. And that's where the money's going. Ryan Day and Dan Lanning both came out at the spring meetings in favor of 24 teams.
It's awful.
The ACC, the Big 12, in favor of 24 teams.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't going away. The SEC is going to have to cave. And the only reason the SEC doesn't want to cave is and it's the most ludicrous thing, they want to protect their championship.
I don't think it's that. I think
that's what they say.
Yeah, I think they want to. I think ESPN wants to not open up the books on the playoff.
Well,
because if they
not.
Go to 24, then they're going to have to bring on other television partners. And I think ESPN has complete control of it right now, and they don't want to. But whatever the motivations are, you can't tell me you like 24 more than 16 or 12. No way.
It doesn't matter what I like. It's what's going to happen. I'm telling you right now, this is going to happen.
Well, yeah.
And within 2 years, there's going to be a 24-team playoff.
You can't wait to go cover 8-4 Iowa hosting 7-6 Ole Miss.
Well, you're going to have what? The first two rounds will be home games.
Now, for I don't know.
I mean, and Ryan's
going to diminish a lot of things.
Whatever it is, Ryan Day said at the spring that it all needs to be over by the beginning of January.
He's right on that. I agree with him on that 100%.
I mean, get it over with.
Get done with
and it. Go 24 teams, get it over with, and do it. But, I mean, it's coming. Do you know the money you're talking about? And I know ESPN wants to control it. Sure they do. But sure. So does Fox. So does CBS. Mm-hmm. And you know what? If you look at the NFL model, let me ask you something, Bo. It's pretty successful, right? The NFL mm-hmm. model?
Yeah.
You don't have one vendor doing the games. No. They all do it. And it's you know what brings in more money, my friend? Competition.
Mm-hmm.
And
all true.
That's where it's heading. I mean, it's just, do I like it? No. Do I wish we could go back to the old days and whatever? I thought it was good when you argued about who was the national champion. You know, those were fun days. But that ship has sailed. And when you got coaches making $13 million, coordinators making $3 million, players making whatever they're making, the genie is out of the bottle. I've said it before. He ain't going back in. And they're going to find every revenue. And my question is this. When is the freaking NFL going to pay their fair share
Never.
For their free farm system?
Never. Never. They aren't ever. So
I mean, that's the way. That's one quick way to fix it.
You're going to be saying to Lucci, mount me before you get an NFL. Before you're going to get the
that's
NFL
a wrestling term,
back.
By the way. I want you to know that.
Well, yeah. I know. I'm well aware.
Yeah.
I'll see
you. Did you wrestle? Did you
day.
Ever wrestle?
No, I did not wrestle.
I'd
no.
love to wrestle you now that I've lost some weight.
I'd probably be okay against you right now.
Yeah.
20 years ago, probably not. Right now, I'd probably be okay. I got young kids I got to deal with.
I was a big boy back then.
Oh, I know. I remember quite well. I'll see you. Have a good Memorial Day. There he goes. Dom DeBerry. Little Tuesdays with DeBerry. We'll do Thing or Not a Thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. Have you ever met a man who wins money betting on tennis? Enter Scotty Vegas. Join Scotty and Dave Biddle for On the Money.
Presented by Ohio for Responsible Gambling.
Sunday mornings at 9 on The Fan. Let's take a listen back to when we were awesome. You're listening to the best of Bishop and Friends. The Fan. Ohio sports destination.
Reese, how was your music week?
Incredible. Thursday through Sunday delivered. Best show I saw was Stone Temple Pilots. So I went in with limited to little expectations because Scott Weiland's no longer with us.
Sure.
And all of their hits were done with him as their front man. So
right.
I hadn't heard of their new singer. I didn't know how they would sound, and they crushed it. That
was a new guy. Was he from other bands or is
I had
it
never
that
heard of him
know?
Before. Baker and I were actually having this discussion in the break. I think he won America's Got Talent.
Oh. So his name current is Jeff Gutt, and he won some kind of reality singing show.
Okay.
So yeah,
well, that's spectacular. That's great.
He was able to recreate that their sound perfectly.
Awesome.
Everybody was great. I'm not a big fan of Chris Jericho's got a band called Fozzy.
Okay.
And while I'm not the biggest fan of their music, watching him run around at 55 was a sight to see. I mean, Everclear was great, even though like they're 30 years. It was funny. Everclear, every time they would finish a song, they introduce another song with, oh, this is an old school one. I'm like, I think they're all old school guys.
All of them.
A lot of bands were doing that. They're like, this is an old hit. I'm like, guys, we are at that stage. They're all old hits.
They're all going to be, buddy. They're all going to be.
So
you think like if you're, I always wonder with those guys, like if you're Everclear and you know that everyone wants to hear Santa Monica and you've played it 170 billion times and it's into pop culture, all of those things, and has been for a long time. Like, do you get sick of playing that? And I think the answer to that is no, you don't, because it's one. I mean, if you have like one of those things, kind of like, you know, Stone Temple Pilots, you're going to play Interstate Love Song. Yeah, you're going to play Interstate Love Song, mm-hmm. and people are going to love it. And that's the stuff that puts you on the map. And there probably is no animosity towards that stuff unless you're a lunatic, because without it, who are you?
And you can just tell when they play the first couple of chords of, and this is every band, all of their, this is the song of that band. You see the crowd reaction.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that kind of a high can get old for a band like that. Certainly for Everclear, for even Chevelle's frontman, they did The Red, which is like their song, but that came out in 2004. He's like, you guys not tired of this yet? And if they, and the crowd just reacted so positively to him saying that.
Right.
You just, for a band, for even a fan of bands, like that energy that is produced when you hear the chords of the song, you're like, this is the song. It's unlike anything else.
Yeah, you beat that drum all the way to the bank as long as it'll go. And you talk about that high. Well, that's why Mick Jagger and Keith Richards and those guys are playing music in their 80s.
Because they can't get enough of that.
That's the best drug in the world.
Yeah, it is. I remember Bret Michaels was like the meet and greet at the Health and Fitness Expo when Channel 10 was doing it.
One
year. Yeah. And so... Dommy and I were around him. Dom will join us in an hour and 6 minutes, and he'll recant the story. But we asked him, like, do you ever get sick of this? Because you looked outside, like, we were kind of behind stage. You looked outside, and there were just 1,000 people, you know, in line, and he was having to sign a bunch of autographs and take pictures and all of that. And we're like, do you ever get sick of this? And he goes, no, man. By the way, he's, like, the coolest guy ever. But he's like, no, this without them, I'm nothing. I just thought, what a cool attitude to have towards it, you know? So, hell yeah, I'll play Every Rose Has Its Thorn again. I got no problem. I'll run that out for you
for
tomorrow.
For the 100,000th time.
Yeah.
Speaking of music and playing the hits, and hey, this is an old one. I heard Bone and Tyvus talking about this yesterday, and Tyvus said he had no clue and never heard of this band. But Smashing Pumpkins is going on another tour. They just announced.
Yeah. He was just on, Billy Corgan was just on maybe Stern.
Okay.
In the last couple of weeks, and was talking about, I forget the name of the song, but Despite All My Rage, I'm Just a Rat in a Cage. And
Bullet
that
with
song,
Butterfly Wings.
Yeah, that one. So it was on 1979, the album and all of that. So it came out right when I was in college or late high school. I can't remember exactly. But he was talking about how the record company was like, yeah, I don't, like, he really loves, like, 1979, some of these other ones. And the record company's like, yeah, we really need you to just do this because this is what the audience is responding to. So then he did, that's where he wrote Bullet with Butterfly Wings. He wrote that as, like, a protest anthem. And then the record company kind of ends up being right because that ends up being one of their biggest ones. And that was what the audience wants. So it's kind of this thing of, like, sometimes what the audience want isn't what you want necessarily. So it's an interesting part of that, but that's a great trip down memory lane. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Performance matters.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
It was so good the first time,
we had to shove it down your ear hole again.
This is the best of Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
Ohio sports destination.
We'll read your emails on the air, but we won't tell you where to send them.
Hey, we're not doing all the work for you.
This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, we'll get to your hey guys in just a second. I went down a rabbit hole in my own mind on the Schlitz thing, and I decided to write down off the top of my head every beer that we distributed at the beer distributor I worked with out of Conrad, Montana, my 2 years in college. So we were Anheuser-Busch predominantly, but it was smaller. So we also had Miller products and then some independents. And the big competitor was Coors and Coors Light, which is a shame because those were my guys, was Coors and Coors Light. But we did have some of the Miller products, which so here was, this was just off the top of my head. I don't even know how many of these still exist and how many of these are just variations of the same beer. Just with different labeling. These are all the ones I wrote down. Old Milwaukee, Schlitz, Schmitz, Hams, PBR, Henry Weinhart's, High Life, Miller Genuine Draft, Miller Red, Miller Light, Bud Light, Mick Light, Michelob, Mick Ultra, Budweiser, Bud Ice, Red Dog, Ice House, Busch, Busch Light, Natural Ice, Natty Light. That's the full, that's every, and there's probably some I'm forgetting, but that's the, we had every one of those. How inefficient is that from a business? Like, to have that
buy a Natural Ice in Montana.
Natty Light was just cheaper. So the number one seller was always Busch and Busch Light. That was the one that we sold the most of. Bud Light and then Busch and Busch Light were the two that we sold the most of. And then Natty Light was just another version of that. It was just
a then there's, you know, Natty Ice, though, but that's like a step above.
I don't know what
Natty. That's if you're trying to have a night.
Is there a slightly more alcohol?
Yes.
Do they still make Bud Ice and Natty Ice?
Not that I know of.
So Bud Ice used to have the penguin on the bottle cap.
You're exactly right.
And we used to have some time with that. When I was 18, 19, my cousin in Hilliard had an apartment right across from a drive-thru that's still there. And they used to sell cases of Bud Ice for $11.99.
Jeez.
And boy, did we have some times with that. And then the other one, Ice House.
Ice House.
That was a favorite back in the day. That was pretty good beer.
I think it was just Budweiser.
Well, I like Budweiser, so.
Yeah, that was just what it was. It was kind of all the same. I don't even know how many of those still exist. But I remember, like, Michelob used to be, like, the highest end of it, and then Michelob Light. This was before Mick Ultra came into play. Mick Ultra hadn't annihilated the rest of Michelob at that point, but yeah, a lot of good ones there.
And MGD, then Miller Lite came along and ruined that, I think. And it, because Miller Genuine Draft used to be
Miller Genuine
big time beer.
Yeah, so there was in the old days, if memory serves, it was Miller High Life, and then Miller Lite came in the, you know, late 70s, early 80s, and just took off. That's the taste great, less filling, all of that. And then Miller Red was kind of their answer to that.
I never heard Miller Red.
Yeah, Miller Red. And then MGD, and then High Life. Somehow High Life, which was my dad's favorite his whole life, and now not as much. And my dad is a have a beer every day guy. I've never seen him drunk in my life. I've never seen him drunk in private or drunk in public, but I've seen him have a beer every day of his life the entire time I've known him. Sometimes two, never three.
So what's he drink now?
PBR.
Okay.
What was your best seller? Do you remember?
Busch Light.
Okay.
We sold
absolute best, like.
Oh.
Okay.
Every convenience store, you could do a whole end cap of Busch Light that we would stack up in
head
various
for the mountains.
Designs. Head for the mountains of Busch. Yep. That's it. Busch Light. Bud Light was right there, too. Those were the two that were the biggest. But we did a lot of groceries. Like the bars, it was Bud Light, but the grocery stores was Busch Light. The convenience stores was Busch Light. They'd crush that. Absolutely crush it. And then one of them, it might have been, I can't remember. It was either Schmitz. I think it was Schmitz. In hunting season would have like these fish and like deer packaging.
Well, that's Busch Light.
Busch Light does that too.
But does Busch do that now?
Busch Light do that now? Camo cans.
Yeah, that type of stuff. Like those always took off in hunting season in the fall.
They also do Busch Light does like four different, at least they did last year, 2 years ago, like four different fish. And like three of them were easy to get. The fourth one was hard to find around here. So people were like on a mission to collect them all.
Yeah. Three's weighing in. Michelob Golden Draft Light in Minnesota was king. My grandpa from Florida would come visit and be in heaven. Michelob was, that's the big time there. I remember in college, it was like, yeah, we were like working at a golf course. Yeah, we can afford Michelob now. We can afford Michelob. $7 for a six pack. We could actually afford it. That was I don't even know if like Michelob and Michelob Golden still exist.
I had a Mick Ultra over the weekend at Sonic Temple because the options were Michelob Ultra, Bud Light, Budweiser. And I'm not a Bud Light drinker. And all I wanted was, I was fiending for a Miller Light so bad.
Yeah.
They're just not good beers.
Well, they're just beer flavor. They just what traditionally beer flavored beer. The first time I remember something tasting different was Fat Tire. When I was like in college, it was like, oh, this is a little different. And then there was a brewery in Missoula that was just starting that was called, I want to say it was Big Sky Brewing, and they did Moose Drool. And it was kind of their version.
Great name for a beer.
Which is a great name, great logo too. Their version of it was, Fat Tire was Moose Drool. And those started to take off a little bit. That's 25 years ago. Now, you know, there's all sorts of craft stuff out there.
Can we like go grab a six pack right now
makes
and each of us
to.
Have a beer?
Makes you want to, doesn't it?
Like, I want a Bud Ice or an Ice House right now.
You do? Be pretty good if we could do it.
You tall boy 311.
That's exactly right. All right, time for a little hey, guys. Hit it, fellas.
Nothing is off limits. Your participation is required. Just use the hashtag hey guys and ask anything you want. Do it now.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Great food, award-winning drinks, and something for everyone in the family. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank.
All right, so we're getting a bunch on the YouTube chat, so thanks to everybody for chiming in. Also at 971BFS. I'll start with this one I just saw from Husky. Hey guys, if you could only have one bourbon for the rest of your life, what would it be?
A Cruel Life. That's what that is.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many. I guess I'll just go the nostalgia play here. And I love High Bank's version of bourbon that they've got going right now is spectacular and all of that. The reason I got into bourbon was Blanton's. That's the reason I got into it. I was a Johnny Walker Black on the rocks guy for a long time, and a buddy of mine in the South said, why don't you try this? And this is 20 years ago, and this that he had was Blanton's, and I looked at the bottle, and I looked at the little horse on the head, and I thought, that looks pretty cool. And then I tried it, and I went, yeah, that hits. That works. So I guess I would go back to the original. My favorite one is that I've had and have owned through the years, Elmer T. Lee has always been a favorite of mine through the years. And there's some things in life that are worth it when you get your hands on it. And Pappy Van Winkle 20-year bourbon is probably about as good as you can get, but I'm not going to spend $3,000 a bottle for it. So those would be some of the ones that are in the mix.
So there's so many good ones out there, and Bo, I've got a pretty good collection right now on the top of my fridge, but I would have to say if I can only do one the rest of my life of the ones I've had, I'm going Eagle Rare.
That's your baby. By the way, Threes has had Moose Drool. He's had it. This is also, we have a Hey Guys from a linebacker coach at Ohio State. Sports beer or post-yard work beer? Which one is better?
Post-yard work beer. Because you've accomplished something. You've won.
Go ahead, Bake. Weigh in.
I don't love yard work. That's one of the reasons I live in a condo. Shame. And I
take yard out of it.
It does nothing
post-work
for me.
Like post-mo beer?
We used to play basketball all the time and then go crush beers or softball and beers. Mm-hmm. So I'm going the sports beer.
It's because you haven't worked a lot of hard days like I did on the Ponderosa. This has been an easy, really smooth, no real heavy lifting.
I've been mason my whole life. That's what I did growing up. Come on now.
Those beers had to taste pretty damn good. Day laying brick and block, that has to taste pretty good.
They just don't mean as much to me, I guess. I don't have as many fond memories as I do with the sports
beer. I got you. I think any summer work cold beer at the end of the day is pretty damn undefeated. I think that's the best beer. And in that beer, what I want is a beer-flavored beer. That's what I want. I don't want something that I need a spoon to eat. I don't want anything like that. I want a light beer, American Pilsner beer. That's what I want. And those are undefeated after hard, long days of work. Like a post-harvest August beer. Jeez, that hits nice. Or my God, I was just telling this to NBC the other day. I spent a whole summer just picking rock. I just drove around in a tractor with a front-end loader, loaded it with rock, and then drove it to rock piles all summer. I spent an entire summer just fixing fence. I just drove around on a four-wheeler and fixed fence for an entire summer. That's all I did. And I'll tell you what, after those days, now, Uncle Kel was a great man, and every once in a while, he'd give you a little high life when you're 16 years old. Who gets hurt?
I will say this. I think my favorite beer is airport beer because of what's coming usually. That means you're on vacation or going somewhere, so I love airport
beach
beer.
Beer's good. Beach beer's good, too.
Can we send a hey, guys, back to the linebacker coach?
Sure. Yeah, he's listening.
And say, hey, guys, who are you recruiting today? Who are we visiting?
Can he just have a life? It's May. Can he just enjoy his day?
What does he think about the situational beer? Or is he a... after
we'll get
game?
His answer. Okay. I'll get his answer in the break. Sports beer, work beer. We'll get his answer in the break. We'll continue with your Hey Guys questions. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
A lot of hosts.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
ESPN senior NFL insider Adam Schefter joins Rothman and Ice every Wednesday at 12:30. And he works blue.
Okay.
The NFL Playbook with Adam Schefter is sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
Indeed it is. The Fan. Let's take a listen back to when we were awesome. You're listening to the best of Bishop and Friends. The Fan. The Fan. Ohio sports destination. Find us on YouTube. Search WBNS Radio and you can see what Bo looks like. But only if you subscribe. This is Bishop and Friends.
And join us for the Fan 5K presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center. It's the 5K run, 1 mile walk, happening Saturday, June 20th at Honor Bind. Some of your favorite fan personalities will be there. Brother Bone will be there. Nephew Tyvus, Man, Timmy, Reese, they'll all be there. Adam King will be there. Nicole Sheeran will be there. Every participant gets a finisher's medal, a race shirt, free photos, awesome gifts from Logan Services. The Fan 5K is presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center. Sign up today at 971therace.com. I did get the answer from Threes. His favorite, this is perfect how he worded this. Post yard work, full of grass clippings, talking trash to the work, taking domain over the land with a frosted beer victory.
It's a great one.
It's awesome how he put it.
Beer. Tyler on social said, so your favorite scene in Shawshank was the bucket of suds after tarring the roof. And I responded, yes, that's one of them. Also, any scene not involving the sisters is fine. I'll do all of those. I'm for all of those. Go ahead, Reese.
We'll head back to the YouTube chat. With this weekend being Memorial Day weekend, Phil asks, hey, guys, fiance and I are headed up to Chicago. Got any recommendations for the weekend? He says he's a big steakhouse guy, but bars are also welcome.
God almighty, man. Chicago.
I think he's going to Wrigley for a game.
Okay, well then he'll be in a he'll be great. I apologies Fish and Mike and AR and everybody that's has Chicago roots at the station, but I think Chicago is the most unnavigable city in America. So that I don't mean to rain on your parade, but I've never been there where the traffic isn't a disaster. You can't get anywhere in any sort of time. If you're going to Wrigleyville, I've only been there once. You can throw a stone down almost any block in Chicago and have a great meal. So I'm probably the wrong guy to ask for this. Like when I went there last summer, I'm texting Fish and I'm texting Mike like, give me something, a place to eat with the kids for the families. And they gave us some great ones. It's a kind of a fast casual, but like Portillo's, which is a Chicago staple. And then Mike put me on to Barnaby's, which was a great pizza joint that we did in the northern suburbs. But for steak, I mean, just go to Michigan Avenue. There's a probably throw a stone and hit six great steak places there. If the weather's great, Wrigley's awesome. I watch the Dodgers play there. The only reason I know the Cubs won is I was on the same train as Ronnie Woo Woo, and he just kept saying, Cubs Woo, Cubs Woo, Cubs Woo. That's the only reason I can tell you who won or who lost the game. I have no recollection of how it happened. And it wasn't because we were bombed. We were playing mound ball in the outfield in the bleachers, sucking down old styles, and I don't even know that I couldn't tell you anything that happened in the baseball game I went to there.
I'm not the right person for this either because I haven't spent a lot of time in Chicago. Most of my time in Chicago was through the airport or working, and we didn't have a lot of time. So I think the one thing, though, if I went to Chicago, I would make sure I went to a Chicago place for pizza. Like a Lou Malnati's or, you know, one of those places that's just there, and make sure I had some of that.
The original Uno's, I've eaten there. It's downtown. That's a really cool experience. It's very, very good. JP, the great Joshua Perry, listening and saying Maple and Ash, if you want to, on a steakhouse front, it's elite. Maple and Ash. So hopefully that pointed you in the right direction on that. Thank you, JP.
Back to the YouTube chat. Scotty asks, hey, guys, in heavy rain, are you a sit-in-your-car-and-wait-it-out guy, pack-an-umbrella type of guy, or throw up the hoodie and sprint to the door?
It's all about the time and place and where I got to get. So I will wait it out
till the last minute, and then I'm throw something over my head and run. I find that if I'm trying to get an umbrella out, I almost get just as wet doing that as I do just making the run from where I'm parking to where I'm trying to go. So I would probably be the run guy. I'd be the wait it out. My protocol would be wait it out, judge proximity, the distance between where I am and where I'm going, try to do the mental math of how wet am I going to get in these amount of steps, and then be able to kind of sort that out. And by the way, three's weighing in saying, walk through the rain, be a man. Listen, buddy, what hair I have left is coiffed. Like, if I get this thing soaking wet, I'm not going to be camera ready in any way, shape, or form.
So I'm definitely not an umbrella guy, and unless for some reason I'm going somewhere like a wedding, a funeral, or something where I have to be dressed nice. Mm-hmm. That's the only time I'm even worrying about it and maybe throwing something over my head. Usually, let's just go. It is what it is. Like, chances are I'm not so far away that I'm going to get soaked where I can't handle it. So just get out and go.
I'm not against using an umbrella. Usually it's a raincoat. But you just trust the 10 weather impact forecast. If you're going to sit in your car, you can wait it out. But if it's going to keep raining on you, I think you're just putting the coat on and sprinting.
There is not one. There are a few things in life than when you have youth sports and you're in the middle of a rain delay, not a lightning delay, but a rain delay, or a lightning delay that turns into a rain delay. Bob and I experienced this Saturday in Canton when our kids were playing in the lacrosse tournament up there. And you're sitting in the car and you pull up the phone and you look at the live radar and you just see, like, as much green as the Slimer and Ghostbusters. And you just go, okay, I guess where we're at here is we're just going to get really wet. Mm-hmm. That's just where we're at. And then you just got to resign to go do it and take it on, and away you go.
I got this. So I saw this earlier in the week, and actually Sonic Temple had one similarly. Arizona Diamondbacks say you and a friend have 9 innings to complete a 128-ounce nacho bucket at a Diamondbacks game.
120.
It is a plastic bucket, 128 ounces, filled with tortilla chips, looks like shredded beef, beans, all the fixins. There was something, again, similar at Sonic Temple, and by the time I saw a buddy of mine get to, I'd say, two-thirds of the way through, it was just mush. Just cheesy mush at that point. But Jay asks, because he heard T-Bone and Tyvus talking about it, excluding T-Bone, who from the station's your partner? Because, again, this challenge by the Diamondbacks says you and a friend have 9 innings.
Well, I mean, I feel like, number one, I feel like Bob could probably, if you just, all you'd have to do to Bob is just say you can't do it. Just say, just give him the 128 ounces.
Here's a beer, you can't do this.
Yeah, just say, give him the 120 ounces of chips and mush and all of that, and then just go, yeah, you can't eat this. And I feel like he could eat it on his own. I also have a feeling Mike would be sneaky good at this.
So Bob is a great call on this one, I think, for both reasons. One, he's a big man.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he's put down a lot of food in his life, especially back when he was playing and trying to stay big and everything. And the stubbornness of, you can't do this. Well, yeah. Watch me.
Yeah.
Jacob Reimer talks all the time about how much he loves nachos and eats nachos all the time. So I'm going to go with Reimer here.
Yeah, what is your... If you're go ahead, Reese.
I was going to say, Reimer's my pick because he's the nacho enthusiast. This is painful.
How does he... Like, what's his go-to? Do we know? Do we have... Like, what is his go-to nacho?
I don't know. I've just heard he loves nachos and eats them all the time.
So, okay.
But he doesn't like cheese.
He doesn't like cheese.
He eats cheese on nachos, but he doesn't like cheese.
I haven't heard that.
Okay. I get a lot of questions. What is your ideal nachos order?
I could do nachos, cheese, shredded chicken. And that's probably it. I'm good with that. Maybe jalapenos.
You gonna have some salsa there or no?
On the side.
On the side. So you're dipping?
Yeah, I don't need it running off. I don't need more things running off it than already.
Yeah, I'm a pretty plain eater. Like, I'm not, I don't love a lot of things, and a lot of it's texture-based, so just give me a bunch of meat and cheese, and I'm good.
Yeah, I actually think, like, just plain nachos sometimes are pretty good. Just like a chip and cheese and salsa, like, that wins for me a lot, too, sometimes. And, yeah, that would certainly, yeah.
And no, the cheese, I think those are shredded or grated, not the cheese sauce. I'll dip that if I want to.
Yeah, I think.
Agree.
I think you hit on a big point there, Reese, in terms of this bucket or whatever you're doing with this, is you have to have, the chip has to remain, continue to have its constitutional shape. You don't want the mush that happens at the end. We could continue with the Hey Guys. We'll also get into Tony Petitti's thoughts on the 2014 playoff per ESPN's Pete Thamel. That's in 2 minutes, Bishop and Friends, right here on the
Hey, what's up?
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Man and Timmy are inviting select jabronis to the station for pizza. Hey, that could be you. Email goodcleanboy at gmail.com and tell us why you should be chosen.
Presented by Billiards Plus and sponsored by Paisano Peppers.
The Fan.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
It was so good the first time, we had to shove it down your ear hole again. This is the best of Bishop and Friends on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Connect with the show on X at 971-BFS. Jump in our YouTube chat or just send a raven. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are. We will continue with the Hey Guys. Because I'm a little fatigued on the Pete Thamel, the 24-teamer, Petitti. We got into that a little bit anyway, so we can take a break. And we did all the beer stuff, so we can live a little. By the way, Quiz letting me know his pop. That's the other thing too. Like, everybody's got a, like, I don't know if your guys' parents are this, but my dad was a High Life guy and he had it regularly. Quiz, I never heard of this one. His dad was Red, White, and Blue. I never heard of that beer. It's got a cool can, but I've never heard of it.
I never heard of that either.
No.
But like Hulk Hogan's Real American Beer?
Yeah.
Is that funny. Any good? I have never had it. Okay. I have no clue.
I think a lot of them were just variations of the same one done at the same, you know, brewery. And that's kind of the way that it worked. I don't know if you did a blind taste test between like Busch Light, Bud Light, Mick Light. I'm not sure if you could tell a difference.
Yeah, so many of them are so similar. That's Rheingeist there. It's Cincy Light now, but it used to be their Cheetah. I feel like if you open one of those up and you set it next to a High Life, you can't tell what's the difference.
Really?
Yeah, you can't tell. Busch Light, Bud Light. Somebody can tell the difference between those two?
No, I don't think so. High Life has a very distinct taste to me of the mass market ones. Like that one, I can tell that immediately.
For sure.
A lot of the rest of them I can't.
High Life also, I feel like, tastes different in a can to a bottle. You can tell the difference.
They used to have my Uncle Gerald, who drank only Olympia. He was a fascinating guy. He had, this is in the mid-80s, he had televisions in his combines and tractors so that he could watch soap operas while he, like, seeded and summer followed and did harvest. But he always drank Olympia, and then he also always had Miller High Life ponies. Do you guys remember those?
The smaller bottles?
Yeah. The little guys.
I don't remember those with Miller High Life.
Some places in Columbus will serve those with a Bloody Mary.
Oh, perfect.
Comes like a little sidecar.
Yeah. Yeah, those things are great. They're like, I don't know, maybe 6-8 ounces, little High Life ponies. I don't know. I wonder if they still make them. I don't know.
My grandfather used to do that. There was a carryout, a drive-through right around the corner from his house, and they would keep 8-ounce Budweiser cans in there for him.
Oh,
and he would grab them and throw them in the freezer. And he was a big post-cutting grass beer guy.
It's funny how, like, now you could drink 16 of them, but I'm only drinking little beers. It's like the, what's the line in One Battle After Another where Benicio del Toro goes, I've had a few small beers. It's a little bit like that.
I did get this from President Bush on Twitter.
Okay.
He does ask, hey guys, with the 2014 playoff coming, will the Ohio State-Michigan game eventually be moved off the last week of the season so players don't sit out the game? Set out the game, I should say. Sorry.
He's saying, will they move the Ohio State-Michigan game because it'll be marginalized and people will be... I don't think that that will be the case in our lifetime. Now, I don't got a whole lot of life left. In the grand scheme of things, still a decent amount. But, like, I don't think we're going to get there where you got to move the Ohio State-Michigan game. I think that game's always going to matter a lot. You play it once a year at your place or theirs. It's endured so much, guys. Like, just think. I mean, it's 100-plus years of this. Like, I don't think that by doing something like this that it's going to minimize this game. And I do think it's one of those things that can endure. If there's ever a conversation that starts with, we have to move the Ohio State-Michigan game in order to keep the importance of it, then you're failing the sport. If that conversation ever takes place, then you've failed the sport.
But I thought, President Bush, we were ridiculed when we talked about this even being a possibility. There's no way this could ever happen.
Mm-hmm.
If an Ohio State coach did this, it would be the last game they ever coached at Ohio State. It's going to happen at some point. Now, I think the Ohio State-Michigan game, if it ever gets moved, it will not be moved for players sitting out of it. It will be moved because they don't want to play each other three times in a row. Now, that probably is going away because Big Ten championship game's going away. But if it was ever going to be moved, it was going to be moved because they didn't want these teams playing back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, I dealt with this in the Florida State-Miami game, which is not the Ohio State-Michigan game, but there was a time when, like, the winner of that game won the national title in the 90s, or was certainly in the mix, and they moved it to Labor Day night. This is the infamous famous FSU Cowgirls game. This is Brent Musburger when he says however many red-blooded Americans just applied to Florida State. Like, it's that game was that Labor Day Monday night. They moved it. And that game was always played the first Saturday in October is when that game was played up until that point. And they moved it. And I'll never know if that changed it or if the two programs just kind of went their separate ways and weren't both great at the same time again, whatever. But that rivalry was never the same from that point on. So again, that's not this one, but that don't monkey with this stuff. Like, there are certain things that cannot be touched, and I hope that Ohio State Michigan game is one of them.
Sticking with the YouTube chat, Connor asks, hey guys, if you could add one single current Ohio professional athlete to join the show as a regular, who would you choose?
A current professional athlete
in the Buckeye State. Well, include Ohio State football players.
I'm trying to think who is the most fun professional athlete in our state.
I've got two right now, right away. And they're one from each of our baseball teams, Reese.
Oh, that's
Jose Ramirez and Ellie De La Cruz. Those would both be so fun. Now, there might be a little bit of a language barrier.
I'm just saying, yeah, like, Jose doesn't speak English, man.
But those two would be so fun. Jose speaks a little. Come on.
Does Ellie speak any?
Yeah.
He does.
He's even tried to do his press conferences the past couple of years in English. So,
I mean, he's no longer a professional athlete, but it would be easy breezy. It would be Shelly time. Like, you could do, I could do 3 hours with Jody.
Yeah, something like Joe Thomas would be be so easy. You just kind of wind up in, what do you think about this thing?
Yeah, Joe would be the same. You know, a guy that I think would have been awesome, he doesn't play for the Browns anymore, but a guy that is really entertaining to me is Jarvis Landry.
Mm-hmm.
I always got along with him really well, and he's just really introspective, smart. He's a very, very cool interview.
I think currently it's Joe Burrow.
Is he interesting, though, as much as we love him?
I think you'd be able to open it up a little bit.
Maybe. I think the Blue Jackets...
Jamar Chase would be fun, too.
Yeah.
The Blue Jackets have two that would be great at it, and that's Charlie Coyle and Matthew Olivier.
Yeah.
They could come on here, I'm sure, and talk sports or whatever all day.
Yeah, and have fun. Yeah. There's some good ones. That's a good question.
Because, Joe, you could at least throw, like, fashion just for fun. I mean, we've done, of this hour, 25 minutes on beer. So you could just learn things about fashion that you find out what he's passionate about and be like, well, this cat's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Him talking to, what was it, like the dinosaur bones or whatever?
The Batmobile.
What was it on quarterback, the thing at the Science Museum? Was That's it right, dinosaur yeah. bones?
I think it was, yeah.
I mean, Miles is kind of interesting from that aspect, too, but I just think he likes talking to anybody.
Yeah,
I mean, right. Then we'd have to talk about speeding tickets.
Joe, at least, I think, enjoys conversations.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Matt, by the way, says, Bo's Unc having an old-school TV in his combine must have been a scene. He really wanted to know what was happening with the Newmans and Abbotts and Genoa's.
Yeah, what did what was his favorite? Like, what was his can't miss?
I could tell you right now, it was unbelievable. It was a routine. So it was 10 o'clock, Price is Right. No, I'm sorry. 10 o'clock, Young and the Restless. 11 o'clock, Price is Right. Noon, the MTN Montana News Network. And the last 10 minutes of that was the Montana Egg Report. So that was critical. Got to get the egg report from those folks. And then at 12:30 was the Bold and the Beautiful. So that was the routine. Every single day he would watch with the rabbit ears on there. Yeah, Uncle Gerald was a scene, man. Actually, I mean, don't mean to take this morbid, but he actually died when I was a kid. He died drag racing his pickup truck down I-10. And while it was sad and shocking and all of those things, it's also the exact way that Uncle Gerald had to go. There's no other way that he was going to go. He couldn't be any other. No, he's going to have an Ole in his hand, and he was going to be drag racing at 2:30 in the morning on I-10, and that's the way it was going to go. I-15. That's the way that it went. But God, he was an interesting guy. He had one of those vans that had like the mural on the side of it with like the, you remember those, like the Chevy vans with like the mural? Like the A-Team van, except it had
like a wildlife scene.
Yeah, like a wildlife
painting.
Yeah, like a wildlife mural. And then there was like all these couches in it. And the crazy thing about him is, like, if anybody in the family wanted to like go on a road trip, he'd let you borrow it. You could borrow it.
Did you ever take one? Did you ever take him up on it?
No, I always pissed off at my dad. I'm like, Dad, why don't we borrow Uncle Gerald's van? Wouldn't this make driving to Calgary a lot better?
That's why you like RCDRV now.
Of course. That's where my guys, because it's been my youth. It's in my history. He did the craziest stuff. He would put, like, I remember him doing it. God, I'm thinking about all of this now. He had like a small car. I can't remember if it was like, it might have been like a Pinto or something like that, or the Chevy version of that. And he took a 454 engine and put it in this thing.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Twist like the brain. Chevy
454. He put it in this tiny car. I can't remember what the car was, but it was a smaller car. But this, and he would just do stuff like that. Just screw around and do stuff like that. Nuts. When he would do farm, I mean, this is, I can't believe all this stuff flooding back. We would do branding for him. And in Montana, branding, like all the community people come to the brandings to do the cows. His was like Studio 54. His branding was 10 hours. Everyone was bombed out of their mind by the end of it. It was unreal.
Was Uncle Gerald smoking a little peyote?
He very well could. My Uncle Tom had a teepee where he indulged in the peyote. Also, the first time I had some of the green stuff, I may have been a little bit too young, and my dad was probably not too happy. But, yeah, he definitely had a teepee.
Isn't there a scene in Yellowstone where they did, like, a branding party?
Lady Wilson didn't play at ours.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Lady Wilson and Zach Bryan didn't play at ours. But, yes, very, very, very similar. By the way, nothing would make Uncle Gerald more happy looking down on heaven than knowing that I just spent 10 minutes talking about how big of a legend he was. Nothing would make him more pleased. We'll get your officially endorsed in three things coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Reds are on the fans' family of stations all season long.
If you don't listen, Terry Francona will ride his scooter to your house and yell at you.
Your home of the Reds.
The Fan. The Fan 2 and The Fan 3.
The Fan. Let's take a listen back to when we were awesome. You're listening to the best of Bishop and Friends. The Fan. The Fan. Ohio sports destination. The best hair on the air. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
The Big Ten is meeting out in Southern California. The Big Ten, what they're not the big, I guess they're the Big Ten meetings. It's not Big Ten Media Day. It's the Big Ten meetings. So this is last year. I think they were in Vegas for this. This was the thing we lamented. Why did they not invent the media? Now this year they did invite the media. It's in Southern California, Terranea Resort, which is, Rancho Palos Verdes, I believe, right on the coast.
How much is that a night?
I would imagine around $1,000 a night.
How many nights are they staying?
It's not a great look. It's not a great look.
We got no money. Fans, round up, please.
It's not a great look. And I'm not sitting here suggesting that a bunch of athletic directors and presidents and conference commissioners should go stay at budget hotels along the side of the freeway. I'm not suggesting that.
Do it over Zoom.
But yes, you could do it over Zoom. If you want to do it face to face, I'm even fine with that. But there are centrally located places that make a little bit more sense for this time of year that are not five-star resorts on the coast in Southern California. There's a way to, you could go to the JW Marriott in Indianapolis and you'd pay $300 or $400 a night and that would not have near the look that this had. You could stay at any number of the great hotels that we have in this city and you could spend $300 or $400 a night and you'd be putting up in great accommodations. You'd have great meals. You'd have all of it centrally located. Their choice was to go to one of the most expensive places in the United States to have a conference meeting. And the look of that is a tough look when you're basically saying we've got to find money. Well, maybe stop spending $100,000 on your spring meetings, because I see no scenario how it's not $100,000. None. And I understand in this scenario, $100,000 is a drop in the bucket, but in a way, it's kind of a microcosm of all the issues we all have with this. Everybody at the top continues to get richer and richer and richer while crying poor for everybody else. And they're screwing up your sport in the process. And that's the thing that's a tough swallow.
And I'm sure there are some things that they are talking about that maybe none of them have talked about before. But it seems like the only two things that are being talked about out there are the 2014 playoff and how they're standing firm on that, which we've already known for a year that the Big Ten was in solidarity on that, and changing the punt.
Right. They're really passionate about changing the punt.
Because, you know, we all last season lamented how it was being poorly.
What are they trying to do with the punt?
I don't even know. They're like changing the formation where two guys can only line up here and two guys here. I don't know. And none of the coaches like it, but it's getting passed anyway. And
Yeah, all 18 football coaches are against a new NCAA punting rule.
That okay. Yeah.
Basically, yeah, it does nothing.
I think the look of this is tough. For the Big Ten, I think it's a tough look. I think it's a bad look. I think it's a bad look for your fans. I think it's a bad look for, like, how many people, I know Docterman's out there, and we have Scott on, and maybe we'll work on getting him on next week to kind of recap all of this. Pete Thamel's out there. Who on the Ohio State beat made that trip? Nobody.
Yeah, nobody.
Was it by invite only, I'm assuming?
Oh, I'm sure. Well, I don't know. I guess we could ask. I'll ask Jake when he's on in 40 minutes if he was invited. But it seemed like the Petiti conversation took place. There was a gathered media that was there to cover it. And that damn sure isn't anybody from Los Angeles. So that's some national folks. And I'm guessing there are some beat people that went out there to cover this thing. But no, this is not easy. It's not easy for go to our employers and say, hey, we're going to go to we want to go cover Big Ten meetings. It's in Los Angeles. We're going to need 3 rooms for 4 nights. And do that to any employer who's handling people who cover these teams. No one's who's doing that. Nobody's doing that. So like, and then all the while to say, essentially, we got to find money. It's a tough look. It's a very, very tough look. Ryan, go ahead, Vic.
I was just going to say, we played that audio 2 or 3 weeks ago from when Ross Bjork sat down with the student from the Lantern and had that interview. And we weren't blaming Ross Bjork for it, but it was tough. It looked tough then. It looks tougher now.
It does. Yeah, it does. The perception of it is it's pretty brutal to say that you have to find money while behaving in a way that certainly seems like you're not. My guess is none of them flew commercial either. Ryan Day is out there, and good for him. It's a great place to spend a week. Play a little golf. You've got a gorgeous golf course there, beautiful pools, views of the Pacific. It's as beautiful a place as you're ever going to be. It's literally perched on a cliff overlooking the Pacific Ocean.
That's how money this place is that they're staying. Terranea is the name of the resort. He was quoted on the 2014 playoff and spoke a little truth. He said, quote, it's debatable. This is to Adam Rittenberg. It's debatable whether it's best for Ohio State. You can go back and forth on that. It's certainly best for the conference and great for college football in general. It engages more fan bases late in the season. This is the talking point that Petitti is really hammering home, is this belief that more fan bases will be engaged later in the season. He even, and we'll get to this a little later, even uses like his experience in Major League Baseball, how having more teams with a chance to make the postseason helps them longer. That's kind of his big running point on this. Here's the thing that I think he's having a hard time understanding. When Iowa plays Minnesota, it matters regardless of their ability to get into a playoff or not, because they've been playing that game for 100 years and they play for a bronze pig. It matters. College football historically did not need this. College football historically did not need the chance. College football historically did not need all of the teams all trying to be the same talent level. Parity is what the professional sports want. That's not what college football has been about. And what they're trying to do is jam parity down your throat in the term of a 2014 playoff.
I remember a time last year where we were putting Tony Petitti's face on a milk carton. Like, yeah. We don't hear from this guy, and I don't shut up.
Well,
it's like he's evolved into today, Greg. Yeah. It's like he's evolved into Greg Sankey.
On that front, I support it. At least he's
doing
his
job.
He's getting his messaging out.
Right.
I don't think this is the best way to do it, but at least he is.
And he's doing his job in the fact that his job is to
look out for his universities.
Yeah. And looking out for his universities is making them money. And you know what? It probably is better for Purdue if they have a chance to make a 2014 playoff. But it doesn't mean it's good for the sport. And
no,
it's not.
And it's certainly not good for Ohio State. It doesn't. Ohio State is almost...
They're exempt from this.
They're exempt. Of course they are. Yeah, it really has no impact.
Don't tell me about the times Ohio State would have made the playoff had this thing been... like. I don't need that PR spin. I've seen enough Ohio State football to know how good these teams have been, but when you have less people allowed into the club, it's a more special experience.
Yeah, it is. All right, second hour of the program coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Cosby Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service, because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.